And get started with the May 14th meeting of the MTC Policy Advisory Council. Thank you, everybody. I'm Kathleen Baker, and the first item on our agenda is the approval of the April 9th meeting minutes. Linda, thank you for moving. Is there a second? Will? Will got it. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed or abstained?
Madam
and
Chair,
they pass.
If it's appropriate this time, could I ask for an excused absence for Alan Talansky? He's actually working on 599 units of housing, which 10% will be low affordable.
That's a perfect reason. Thank you. All right. At this point, I'd like to take public comment on items not on the agenda, but I don't have any public speaker cards. So I'll make my own comment, and that is that a member of the Policy Advisory Council, Jack Gray, who had been with us from NEPA, has resigned from the Policy Advisory Council. So we don't have a set date yet, but there will be a recruitment for that position going forward. Thanks. And with that, we'll move on to agenda item number 4, which is subcommittee reports. We'll hear from Naomi Armenta in the Equity and Access Subcommittee.
Thank you. The Equity Access Committee met earlier today and had a lively meeting. We started off with new business, and Commissioner Doreen Giacopini brought up the issue of the BART cars and some of the accessibility concerns, which also brought up a lot of related transit issues. So there is some concern within the committee on how the process has been carried out to receive comments from people with disabilities of various sorts and concerns. And we intend to do a little bit of follow-up on what the next step is. And things seem to be moving relatively quickly, so there will probably be some email follow-up with the committee on that. And possibly something more. It also brought up the issue on any mode of just congestion on transit and how that negatively affects anybody with any type of mobility issue trying to board transit when it is, as we see so often nowadays, very, very congested. And what does that do to the people who maybe depend on transit the most? So that was an issue that was raised there. We then transitioned in to our main item, which was the continued discussion on paratransit best practices, which was also a lively discussion. A lot of big ideas, I'd say what they say, you know, go big or go home. And so we're going to work on organizing those ideas together and then maybe doing some field trips and getting in some expert speakers and learning some more on some of these big ideas so that we can then narrow in hopefully on what we'd like to bring forward to you to bring forward to the MTC. We also brought up, Pam brought up something that's surfaced among the mobility management group, we would say, and managers around the Bay Area, which is cap and trade expenditures and an effort to try and make sure that there is language that allows mobility management efforts, which is a capital expense under most of the federal funding programs, to be considered as eligible possibly for cap and trade funding. So we actually may need to schedule a special meeting to invite some of those interested parties and meet with Rebecca Long and discuss that issue and maybe getting out ahead of that. So that would actually take place before our next month's meeting. So if anybody is interested in any of those items or being kept abreast of any of those, please let us know, let me know, let Pam know, or Randy, so that we can make sure that you hear more about that. We also want to welcome two new members. Rich has been coming, but he's now official, and Vita has also joined the subcommittee. So did I leave anything out?
It looks like Mark has a question for you.
In regard to the comment for the BART cards, are you talking about the new cards that BART is displaying throughout the counties?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Naomi. All right. So with that, we'll move into our primary agenda item for the day, which is a discussion of MTC public engagement. And after we hear from Ellen Griffin for about the next 15 minutes, we'll break into small groups, at which point the audio for the meeting will be offline until approximately 2:30 or 3, and then we'll be back online. And with that, we'll turn it over to Ellen. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Ellen Griffin, and I work in the Legislation Public Affairs section at MTC, and excited to get into a little depth after this presentation with you all on how MTC can improve its public participation. So there are, well, we do have a plan. We have a plan for almost everything at MTC, and we have a public participation plan. It's actually a requirement that we do this plan, and we have committed to update it with every major RTP or planning cycle. So once we're about to start a new long-range transportation planning process, one of the first steps before that happens is to update our public participation plan. So we expect to do that sometime early in 2015. And as I said, there are the PPP, as we call it, responds to requirements in both state and federal law, but it's also needed and useful just given the history we have in this region of engaging on different issues. The public participation plan has some guiding principles for public engagement, and you can see them there. So this next part of the presentation is about, you know, different ways that MTC gets input on its important plans and programs. And one of the primary ways is through advisory committees, and you're the prime example there, the Policy Advisory Council. There are also sometimes committees created, like with Plan Bay Area, the last long-range plan. There was a group that met, the Regional Advisory Working Group, and it was composed of staff from public agencies, transportation agencies, local planning directors, public works directors, transit agencies, but also some of the major advocacy organizations would send representatives, and it was a place to sound out ideas as well. Public meetings and workshops is one of the most basic ways that we get input from the public. They're required now. The trend is to get more and more prescriptive. So with SB 375 from 2008 came requirements that go with our long-range plan that we have a certain number of meetings in each county. So we do that. We had been doing that anyway, but now it's part of the requirements. So, you know, I'd be interested later in hearing your ideas, since we do have to do public meetings and we have to do a certain number, you know, how can we make them useful? There are also requirements both in federal and state law that we, to the extent we can, try to, I guess, shed light on things, make things visual, understandable. You know, we do try to use videos, we try to use maps, charts, and so forth to help the public understand really complicated information. We also regularly do telephone surveys or polls. We use professional polling firms to do that, to get a statistically significant sample across the region. We conduct them in Spanish and Chinese as well. And sometimes the sample size varies. Sometimes our commissioners really want it the margin of error such that it's, you know, it can be tracked right down to a county level versus the region as a whole. So we tend to do pretty large polls compared to a lot of organizations. But we also are doing more and more of, I guess, non-statistically significant polling where we, in meetings, we'll ask people, you know, what do you think? And then they can vote and see right away the information or sort of take the pulse of the room. We have web surveys and so forth. We even use a similar strategy at our public meetings at times where we'll ask people to weigh in and express their preferences. Partnerships with community-based organizations. Let me see my notes here. We've been doing this now. I guess we started doing this in 2001, and we've partnered with community organizations in the last four regional transportation plans, including Plan Bay Area, which was most recently adopted. And it's been a really successful way to reach out to communities that might not otherwise participate in our process. So we go through a competitive procurement, and we select groups. We try to get a balance around the region and so forth. And they really advise us on how to tailor our message and, you know, go where the people are. And so it's been a really good partnership, and it's something that I'd say is one of our best success stories. And actually, you know, credit to Pam Grove. She managed the last process for us. We also have used groups to help us with programs like the Clipper program, where we need specific input on the card or, you know, how people like to purchase it and that sort of thing. Sometimes we have focus groups. Sometimes they'll be like in partnership with the community groups I just mentioned, or sometimes we'll recruit people more randomly. You know, maybe the final question of one of our telephone surveys will say, would you be interested in the future in participating in a focus group to talk more in depth about these issues? And then later on, if we need to dive deeper, we'll have our pollster draw together a focus group for us. You know, there's no shortage of printed materials at MTC. We try to make our documents for the public interesting, attractive, plain language, but, you know, I don't think we always succeed at that, and it remains a real challenge. We also do targeted mailings and flyers. I think our database maybe is one of the areas we need to really look at and see if we can beef it up, get more people involved, so that when there are opportunities for comment, we can let people know. And we're trying especially to build up our email database. We not only do, you know, snail mail, but we more and more are doing electronic communication. E-newsletters as well as email blasts and so forth. We do use the local media. Some of our stories are even national, you know, in scale, but that is part of the way we let the public know what's going on, and we have a whole team of people who work with the media and so forth. Online engagement, I started to mention that before under mailings, but we, under SB 375, we were required to have a one-stop website for the public to go and learn about the plan. And so with ABAG, we put together the onebayarea.org website where you could go and get information on our plan. We also used an online engagement tool. We had Plan Bay Area Town Hall, where people could go in and comment on the draft plan when it came out, agree with other people. It was kind of nice. You could see, well, people were asked where they're from, and so when the comment was submitted, you could see, you know, what part of the region they were from. There are other tools we're looking at now, but I think that's going to be part of the mix. And then we also sometimes will do intercept interviews with people out on the street to see what they think about hub sign, you know, what our signage program, trying to get some uniformity with transit agencies around the region. Or we will do leaf, you know, tabling at community events to let people know about programs like Clipper or 511 and so forth. So with that, I'd be happy to answer questions, but I think if comments, maybe we should save. I guess if you really have a comment you want to make, that's fine, but save most of your comments for the group discussion, and then there'll be a place to report back as well.
I don't see any immediate questions. I have one that would help my group discussion, I know, and that is with the online engagement. What are some of the things you're looking at now for going forward?
Well, there are, we are, as an agency, we're actually going more for our meeting materials. We have them available on our website, but we're going to a platform where it's all done through a product called Granicus. The Air District now uses it. And it'll make it a little easier and more intuitive for the public to follow along in meetings. Actually, I think when we move to the new building, there's plans that call for, you know, you'll have video, so not just audio record of a meeting, but you can watch and, you know, you can see if somebody's giving a presentation, you'll be able to see it in that new facility as it's being given. But there are other platforms. We used a product called Peak Democracy, but there's you know, different ones, Mind Mixer and others that we're looking at as well, that just provide a different way, maybe a little more interesting way for the public to weigh in, especially those who can't come to meetings, which is most people.
Great. Thank you very much.
Oh, I saw Sandy and then Rich.
I just have a really minor and probably insignificant comment about imagery. So on slide 7, the two images around polls and surveys, I think that the one that actually shows a question, it would probably be a better image if, you know, if you're doing a presentation for the public about public engagement or whatever, if the question that is shown as a poll is actually something that sounds something that they could relate to when they see the question. So it's mm-hmm. just kind of a... you know, kind of a weird question. How will we grow? Is kind of a weird question to have as the image. So something more specific that people could relate to as an image, I think, would be more useful.
Thank you.
In the small meetings, I'm going to be focusing on or trying to elicit comments on low-tech ways to communicate. I'm not against, in fact, use all kinds of media myself, but I just have, as an organizer, I know that the most effective way to get an idea out is through rumor. And most of the information that's been passed off on this plan to the general public has been by rumor. So we ought to be on top of that. And we ought to be finding venues where we can start those rumors that are correct.
Okay, well, I can't wait to hear what you guys come up with.
Great. Okay. With that, I think we'll break into our small groups. And if we're, I think we'll do that by breaking into three groups, counting off 1 through 3. And if we could start with Jim Blackston, if you could start off at number 1. And great. All right, so we will do group 1 meeting here in the center, and group 2 meeting in the back of the room, and group 3 will meet in room, is it 170 or 171?
171,
just out these doors to the left, and we'll be back online shortly. With that, I think we're ready to get the meeting back together in the large group. Again, it's the Policy Advisory Council meeting. And I think we'll be taking report backs from each of the three groups.
Okay. Oh, no.
So So Rich will be reporting out for group number one, Rich Hedges. Naomi will be reporting out for group number two, and Carlos for group number three. Okay, so Rich, whenever you're ready.
Hello, everybody. I'm not going to take the blame for this solely, so I want everybody in the group I was in to raise their hand. This is going to be a little hard to see because of the green, light green, but hopefully I'll be able to explain this well. Please, from the group, anything I leave out or that you want to add, just raise your hand. I'll try to recognize you. We talked about a lot of different issues. We talked about some of the impediments and misinformation that's going out. And one of the ideas that came up was to develop a speakers bureau at MTC, because decision makers are actually a fairly small group in the Bay Area. To reach out to the Kiwanis clubs, the various organizations that are aligned with the Chamber of Commerce, labor unions, both service and building trades. And to train volunteers of those are the willing that will stay on message and follow direction. I think that's important, and not get out in the weeds on their own issues. And we do that with some of the advisors we have here. We have people from every county, and there's some of us that would be willing to pitch in and help. We need to connect to the local plans, get out where people are in their areas. One of the issues that we discussed a great deal was bike parties. Biking is becoming more and more popular. I didn't mention it in the meeting, but the first Fridays, the Sunday streets, but also there are churches. I know my church has something called the Fifth Sunday Peddlers, where everybody that's able-bodied and has a bicycle chooses an area and go bikes. That would be in, and they usually have a meetup spot just like all the other bike groups do. One of the areas that we've sort of left out and we talked about was the community televisions. Each county has one. We could do a YouTube video with a PowerPoint presentation and maybe even a group discussion, kind of like an infomercial, because I know there are organizations that actually do infomercial kind of meetings that actually end up getting on community television. We need to talk about the success stories. One of the issues we brought up was that there's not a lot getting out because a lot of the car-centric people never believe that people will ride transit. Well, some of the new developments are self-selecting for transit riders, and as many as 60% of the people moving in take the train or BART to work. We need to educate elected officials. There are people in city and county offices and on some of the boards that have no idea what SB 75 or Plan Bay Area is. It was even brought up by one of our members that people claimed they never voted on PDAs but would go back to the minutes and show them where they had. So education. Kid-friendly activities. One of the things that was brought up is that you have something for kids to be interested in. It draws the parents in and you get a chance to talk to them. The disability community, through their organizations, independent living centers, senior centers, another group that's always looking for speakers. The advisors like myself and others, I've got about 5,000 people on different email lists, and a lot of us have that. So we can help publicize these events. A loop video, I really like this idea, a loop videos in the city halls. And one of the things that would give us empowerment to do that is we're explaining what's being done as we're required to do through Senate Bill 375, because there's various requirements for us to do these plans in Senate Bill 375. One of the issues that was brought up is that how well there are some examples how well we bore down in areas like the Ravenswood Business District in East Palo Alto, to and show how that outcome uh, uh, of of having these group meetings, and there are other examples around the Bay Area, improve the overall plan. And again, the success stories like Bay Meadows, where, again, about 60% of the people are riding the train when we hope for 25% when we built the development. Work through parent projects. Send packets home through the school and have the parents sign off on them and send them back. And we just need to sell issues like bike safety. Bike safety is a big problem in the Bay Area. I related that I used to ride my bike to work. I've quit riding my bike. It's so dangerous to even walking. And at 72, I'm afraid to get knocked off a bike even because I don't bounce like I used to. So does the group want to add anything to this? Did I leave anything out? Okay.
Thanks. Linda?
Naomi, sorry.
Oh, and you have your sheet with you. Okay.
That's good, yeah. Okay. I'm doing the presentation from here. I wanted to come back to my spot. Okay, can group two, can you raise your hands? Okay, thank you. And we were assisted by Catalina. We had a really great discussion, a lot of stuff that I couldn't even begin to touch on, but it's all in our notes. Ours can really be kind of summed up in who, how, and what. Who do we notify? How do we speak to them, and what do we tell them? So some of the things we noted were we all like low-hanging fruit ideas. We did note the importance of low-tech ideas. We are really concerned about how we speak to people, how do we get their attention, how do we formulate the message that it resonates with them so that it's brief, because usually people are in a hurry, we don't want people to get message fatigue. So where do we, how do we tell people what's in it for me when we speak to them? Some of the places that we want to make sure we're hitting people up at are street fairs, farmers markets, also onboard transit. A lot of the people who are on board the transit or waiting for the transit are the people who are the busiest. They don't have time to look at a lot of websites or to track things. They don't always know what's going on. They're busy trying to catch three buses. So if you can give them a really short set of questions that they can answer right there, that's a good thing. And places where people are spending a little more time, like libraries, community centers, hospitals. We like the ideas of incentives, entering people in drawings for Clipper cards or giving people little games to play when you want them to visit a number of different like booths or tables, have them put down little stickers on the card for that, and then they can win a prize. We as advisors, as Rich mentioned earlier, are ready to help, and we'd like ready-to-go messages, things that can be fired out via email right away, and also to let us know maybe where there are some gaps in communications in our county that maybe we can help bridge. So that's sort of an overview. Is there anything that anyone from the group wants to add? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Naomi. All right, and now we've got Carlos from Group 3.
Yeah, could Group 3 raise their hands so everyone can see who was in Group 3? All right. And I'd say our group, some of it was like money's no matter, and some of it is just thinking big. So I like the way Group 3 thought. So I'm going to try and boil it down to, and if you're welcome to add more to it afterward. The big thing that came out of our group, like the number one thing, is that the next SES process, we need to start like now. We need to, it's early input, early getting out there. It really was Rich's comment about the rumor mill. Like, it really, we need to get that information out now, and we need to continue to get it out. It's not something that you just wait and then right when your plan is starting to be formed. The other thing, so we were thinking of some other ways of getting input out there. We were all like thinking, okay, alternative input, you know, looking at texting as a way of doing things. And so I won't go through all of it. I'm just going to kind of just go through it. We were looking at how to target multi-generationally, and so that some of it may be more low-tech, some of it may be more high-tech. Some of the ideas that we had. So we wanted to kind of define the terminology so that it's more digestible and it doesn't scream like these scary terms like what's arena and what's an SCS and things like that. So we actually were thinking of maybe like having like you've seen these if you're on like Facebook or Amazon or something, they'll have these pop-up ads that are on the side that'll be like saying, you know, lose weight fast or find out what the secret that people don't want you to know about. Is if we could get something like that where it's related to, you know, what the heck is RENA, you know, and it's only there for like a month or something like that, you know, so that people can click on it, it'll catch their attention, but it, you know, just for a short period of time, they'll at least be able to kind of, you know, and it'll take you to something else that'll hopefully be interactive and be interesting to find out a little bit more about what RENA is, you know, and what SCS is. And so those are the kind of ideas that we had there. And then we also thought of using some of the technology that MTC uses now already, like 511.org. How can we get that message out there? So again, maybe it's that kind of ad that's blinking at you on the media that we already have available to us. I think again more on apps using. And we were thinking, well, for the younger generation, maybe we can create games on like create apps. And we were thinking, well, it could be like a SimCity or a Minecraft MTC, you know, where you're actually building a city, you're actually building a region, you know. And this is the idea of getting them to think about, you know. Yeah, what is it that we're thinking about in terms of when we're making these decisions, and you could probably get some good information about what the younger folks are thinking and by seeing how they're building their cities, and then we also felt that with, you know, SB 375, we're really creating a link to environmental, and first of all, like there's a lot of in the Bay Area, and particularly there's a lot of performers who really, you know, associate with environmental. So why don't we go after them and say, you know, we want to have you be a part of a concert that like say when we kick off the SES process or when we finalize it, you know, they're going to have a concert with a group of, you know, entertainers from the Bay Area just to kind of celebrate and say this is what we're doing. If you can get to them with the environmental slant. And the other thing also is, and you know, just in general, the public kind of associates with that, and we're thinking, well, we have a lot of like museums and technology museums of technology throughout the Bay Area and discovery museums that we could almost create like a rotating one of these where you have for a short period of time you're actually having an exhibit that rotates throughout, you know, kind of like that, where it kind of helps people understand what are these decisions that need to be made, you know, and because they're already doing it at these museums, they're already talking about the environment, they're talking about making decisions, so it's a matter of MTC being able to get that on the road and you know being curated throughout the system of these different museums that are out there, and let's see, but we also felt that we as Policy Advisory Council members, we are messengers, and we should be we could be utilized in that sense, especially when we get back to the local level. One thing that came out clearly here is that the way that the MTC is works down through the CMA, and we feel that that's kind of a dead end. And at least for public participation, that may make a lot of sense for decisions on financing, but in terms of public participation, you're not getting to the public. You're basically ending at a level where you have a group of elected officials from other jurisdictions who come there. So we need to figure out a way to get down to city councils, planning commissions, things like that, which is a little bit more effort. And so, again, how can we all work together with MTC staff on that? And And also helping the local jurisdictions also, if so that maybe it's just indirectly providing technical assistance and support as the local jurisdictions go through the process, you know, of preparing for the next SES. And then I think the last two points I wanted to make, one is involvement of the corporate sector. We were thinking, you know, large corporations like Google and Kaiser, Genentech, a few others here, that they already have their own transportation systems and they're affecting land use patterns. And so how about if we get our word out through that, you know, try and get through the plan Bay Area kind of into their employees and the folks that they work with, so that we can kind of expand the reach there and maybe even get them to be partners. And then the last thing is we were asked about what things that we find that work, and we mentioned in terms of participation meetings, we mentioned the visual voting is something that we feel that should be used when we do have people coming together, so that people can see visually what at least the room feels in terms of different agendas. And that's about it. I don't know if anyone else has anything else they want to add to this. Rich.
Mike. Do you mind if I add something to that?
By all means.
There's a new company called The Edge something that just moved in across the street from me. It's a startup. And they're doing something that my organization has already used. And it's collecting people's affinities for websites. And then what that is done then is repackaged and sold during election time, so that you're messaging to the people you're most likely to get out. This is very inexpensive to do. It's a lot cheaper than direct mailers, and we should be looking at that to get the information out on Plan Bay Area, or at least get people to meetings to learn more about Bay Area.
Could you repeat the company's name?
It's The Edge something, but that's just one of them. There's many startups that are doing this. I could get you from our state's council more direct information if you want it.
Vita, do you have?
Okay.
I believe the name of the company you're referring to is called Voters Edge.
That's it.
They gather information and they also analyze tracking the money in politics. There was one area in which I'd like to add for Group 3, and we came up with so many dynamic ideas it was really hard to boil down. But the area that we wanted to focus on was dividing our marketing material into three different categories: the youth, the senior area, and for general public. And if we could divide that down into everything that we do, the gaming, as well as the websites, as well as going out and reaching senior accessibility groups, so that we could have a website that had three separate pages for each of our community, so that we can reach out to each of those demographics at a fully functional level.
Rich?
Just to add on, part of the message can be something like this. For a new way for young people to live, be marketing that way. And for seniors, how to age and still remain mobile kind of messages to their affinity. I mean, there's so many ways we could do it. There's a lot of exciting things that are high-tech as well as low-tech that we could do.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you.
Good job.
Well, I think across all three of the groups, it was nice, I think, for me to hear a mix of the low-tech and the high-tech is really key. And I think, and I didn't end up mentioning this in my group, but there's a real kind of thought leader in the 880 cities realm, which is kind of making cities work for folks aged 8 through 80, Gil Penulosa. And he often does an exercise with youth where he just says, kind of, you know, draw the street. Draw me a street that works for people, for everybody, for bikes, walkers, old people, young people, the bus. And it's the most beautiful exercise with what these kids produce, because they really do kind of produce a perfectly active, busy, lively street. And just something even that simple with moving pieces like that, I think, for a pop-up to kind of integrate with some of these festival ideas or bike party ideas, hopefully relatively low cost, but I think really worth it if it's engaging people on a more tangible level. So any other general comments or things that came up in folks' groups? Sandy?
Well, one of the things we talked, you know, and Carlos mentioned a little bit, and I think this Rich mentioned in his presentation too, is kind of the role that we can play as advisory committee members. And I think that that's something that we should explore a lot more. I think we can do more than just come to these meetings. I think we can take a more active role. And, you know, obviously, you know, we're not paid staff. This isn't something we could spend all our time every day going to, you know, tons of events. But certainly figuring out things that would be easy, you know, relatively easy for us. If there's a speakers bureau, if, you know, if there's a set messaging, what have you. I think it is something we should explore more.
Agreed. Pam?
Well, just kind of doing a tangent onto that, we did set aside some time at your next meeting to kind of do a touchback on this conversation because you spent most of the time in your breakout groups. So if you'd like to do that, we could take the first part of your next meeting to kind of, as a staff, we'll go back and go over all the notes and kind of decide, well, you know, where should we go from here and bring something back to you. Just for a portion of your meeting at your next meeting, but we thought it might be good to have that collective time together to say, okay, we've talked about all these ideas, now where do we go from here? So if you're open to that, we can do that.
I'm seeing some heads nod and some thumbs up, so yeah, but I think the time would be worth it. All right. Ellen has her hands up.
I would just like to thank everybody. It was really inspiring, actually, to hear all the good ideas, and I think sometimes we get hunkered down in tunnel vision, so it's really nice to hear some new ideas, and I do think we could take advantage of you and your connections much better than we have, so thank you.
Great. Thank you, everybody, and I think the next item on our agenda is Pam's staff liaison report, which she will go ahead and make from right where she is.
That would be good. I have two items for you. One is to just remind you that we're in this time of biennially where we are looking at approving our Transportation Improvement Program, or TIP is the acronym that we use. It's a federally required listing of Bay Area surface transportation projects that are either going to receive federal funding, are subject to a federally required action, or are considered regionally significant for air quality conformity purposes. And the TIP covers a 4-year period, and it's currently being updated every 2 years. So the last update was in 2013, and we're due for one this year in 2015, along with the air quality conformity analysis. And those will be out for review later this year. As a precursor to that step, MTC performs an analysis of the TIP investments, and our Equity and Access Subcommittee has been involved in that methodology to create that methodology for that analysis in the past. They are looking at using the same methodology. However, they will be bringing that to the subcommittee at your next meeting for the subcommittee for a review. And then once that analysis is completed, the draft 2015 TIP will be brought before this council at your July meeting. So just giving you a heads up that that's coming. If you have any questions about the TIP or the investment analysis, if you're interested in digging into the analysis portion, you can come to the next subcommittee meeting. And if you have any other questions, you can direct them to our MTC staffer, Adam Crenshaw. I'll be happy to get you, well, his information's in the staff report. The other thing I just wanted to kind of, every now and then there's a little kudos for MTC that I like to highlight, and we attended the Clean Air Awards a few weeks ago held in San Francisco, and MTC was a double recipient of Clean Air Awards this year. So kudos to not one but two former advisory council staffers who were there to receive those awards. One was given to the Bay Area Bike Share Pilot Program, and Ursula Vogler is in charge of that program for MTC. And then the other one was the Youth for Environment and Sustainability Program that I know Jim Blackston gave a report on last fall. He attended, and I also was there, and it was held in this very room. It was very inspiring, where youth from all over the region came together to talk about the environment, sustainability, and transportation. And Leslie Laura was heading up that program for MTC, and she was there also to receive that award. So congratulations to them. And that's all I have.
Great. Thank you. And I really would welcome anybody who is interested or available to attend that next Equity and Access Subcommittee to discuss the TIP. It really is the regional transportation plan broken down into its implementation parts. So it's where the rubber hits the road. Are there any council member announcements that anybody wanted to share? Okay. I think with that, I will adjourn the meeting and just wish everybody to stay hydrated and cool throughout the rest of the heat.